All right, we're starting a new series this week called Generous, and we're going to be talking about giving, what happens when we give, the dynamics of giving, and the heart we have to truly give. And I want to encourage everyone to really plug into this and start thinking about how you can go the extra mile to give a little bit more, how we can increase our giving maybe in different ways so that we can really experience the blessed life that God has for us. And we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. And this will kind of be a guiding passage to help us through the next few weeks. And Paul says this. He says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth." Let's just stop there. A lot of us probably think, well, that's a good verse for the rich people. Let me just tell you, probably 95% of the people in this room today are rich compared to the rest of the world. So we need to take that scripture seriously. And he says, the hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Notice that to be generous is a commandment. It's not just a nice thing that maybe if we get around to doing, we should. We are commanded as Christians to be generous and willing to share. In the same way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Notice what Paul is saying there in that last verse. He's saying that when we give, we lay up treasure for ourselves in the next life, which is where life really is. And the treasures and the wealth that we have in this present world really aren't where wealth is at. Wealth is stored up eternally in the kingdom of God. And so those are some principles that we want to remember that really help us to give and realize that our giving has eternal consequences. You know, the word believe is used 272 times in the Bible. The word pray is used 371 times in the Bible. It's good to believe. We have to believe. It's good to pray. We need to pray. The word love is 714 times in the Bible. But look at this. The word give is almost four times the amount of all the others, and that is over 2,000 times the word give is used. That's because the word give is the verb of the Bible. If you look at the story of the Bible, the story of God's redemption plan, it's all about giving. It's all about Him giving Himself. It's all about redeemed people giving themselves so that other people can experience what God has done for them. We are going to have to pay attention to this word and understand what this word means if we're really going to live the life that God has for us. And I'm going to read a few scriptures here, and I'm just going to ask, I know there's a lot of scripture we're about to read, but really pay attention to these scriptures. And we're going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about the Macedonian churches who went and gave above and beyond what was expected of them. How many wants to be that kind of a giver? Not just a minimum, well, how much do I have to give? How much do I have to give to impress people? How much do I have to give to make pastor happy? How much do I have to give to make God happy? I want to be the type of giver that goes beyond what's expected, because when you get to that point, that's where generosity really begins. So let's pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." Let's just stop there. If you're going to give, if you're going to be really generous, you're going to need the grace of God. You know what the grace of God is? It's the word charisma, and it basically means divine favor, divine empowerment. And how many in here will just be honest and say it's not within your nature to be generous? I think most of us, that's true. Why? Because we're falling human creatures affected by sin. And you look at the youngest child in this room, what's probably one of the first things they say is mine, right? It's within our nature to be selfish and to hold on to what we have. And what Paul says, he says, I want you guys to know about the grace of God that was poured out on these Macedonian churches. And they, through God's grace, were able to give more. And if you're going to be able to be generous, if you're really going to live a generous life, you're going to have to ask God to give you grace to do that, because it goes against our very human nature. And it continues on in verse 2. He says, "In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Has anybody ever been there in the middle of a severe trial, in the middle of where finances were dry, in the middle where there wasn't enough in your checking account? God gave you grace and God gave you overwhelming joy, and in your extreme poverty, you still were able to be generous. I know of people in this church that that's true, that they've given in the middle of a severe trial. Maybe the finances weren't there, but they stepped up and they gave the extra dollar anyway. And I want to tell you that only that can happen by God's grace. And he continues on. He says, "For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." That when God's grace is moving in your life, it will give you the power, not to just to give what you're able, but to go on and say, "Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I'm giving this to you in faith because I believe that you're going to give me the ability to give beyond what I can even afford right now." That's really what faith's about, isn't it? Faith isn't when, okay, this number makes sense. This makes, you know, logical sense. I can logically give this much. Faith is all about saying, "Okay, God, I'm really stepping out. I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I'm going to give anyway." And that's the type of giver that God loves. And he says this. He says, "Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to God's people." In other words, he says, I wasn't begging them. I didn't get up at their church for an hour and threaten, you know, I'm never coming back unless I get this amount of money. None of that stuff. He says, entirely on their own, they stepped up and they gave out of their heart. And he says, and they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then the will of God also to us. That true giving starts when you give yourself to God. He says they gave themselves to God first, and because they gave everything about them to God, God gave them grace to go beyond what was expected. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in the love that we have kindled in you, see to it that you also excel in this grace of giving. In other words, a lot of people try to pick and choose what area they want to excel in, don't they? Maybe we all have natural strong points in the Word of God. Maybe giving is one of those things that we put towards the bottom. But Paul says this, he says, just as you've excelled in your love, just as you excelled in all the other points of your Christian life and your Christian maturity, he said, I want you to excel in this gift of giving. That tells us that we always have to be looking for new ways to be generous. We have to be looking for new ways that we can give to other people, that we can give to God's church. And he says in verse 8, he says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Now I want to stop here. I want to tell you, if you're saved, you're rich. If you've experienced the grace of Jesus Christ, you're rich. You have eternal treasures that the richest person on this earth cannot compare to. And because of that, because he voluntarily came and he gave up his life, he left gold streets of heaven, he left all the treasures that he had in heaven, and he became poor. And he came to this life, to this earth, and he gave his life through the cross. And now we are all rich. How much more should I be willing to give back? How much more should I be willing to give back to God's kingdom and to other people? And then he finishes in verse 10. He says, here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For it is the willingness is there. The gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. In other words, he says, generosity isn't about the amount. It's about the heart. It's about the attitude. It's about the mindset. I want to have the mindset of a giver. And he says, you know what, guys, you guys have a reputation of being the first to give and being the first to have the desire to do it. And not only having desire, but following through and giving. And I want to say, I think this church has that type of reputation. How many wants to keep that reputation? How many wants to go deeper in giving? All right, so I want to give us 5 points today from these scriptures about giving and that attitude and the heart of giving. Number one, we need to give joyfully. We need to give joyfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when people cannot wait for the offering to be taken on Sunday morning. God loves it when people are just looking for an opportunity to give back to other people. They're looking for an opportunity to bless other people. They're looking for an opportunity to buy someone's meal. I can think of people in my life that they have just this gift of giving joyfully, that they're looking for an excuse to bless people. They're looking for any excuse to provide for a need, to make sure that someone is clothed, to make sure that somebody is fed. And God loves that. If you want to get God's attention, get happy about giving. Get an attitude of, you know what, it's better to give than to receive. You know, and as you get older, you know, when you're young, Christmas is all about you, right? You can't wait to see what you get. But I've found as the older I get, Christmas is more about the reaction I can see in other people when I give to them. And we need to get that attitude of giving joyfully. Proverbs 21:26 says, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. The godly love to give. You know, it's interesting. Scientists have recently discovered in research, and if you want to look it up, Google Wall Street Journal study on giving. And there was this team that they put 19 test subjects of people and an MRI machine, and they gave them options to give, charities to give to. And somehow they hooked them up with a computer. And every time that they gave to a charity, a hormone was released in their brain that gives us pleasure. Matter of fact, a lot of you are probably wanting this hormone to be released right now because it's the same one that gives us pleasure when we eat. So just hold on for about another hour, and we'll get those hormones going. But what that tells us is God allows those hormones to be released like when we eat because it meets a need. And it's our brain's way of saying, hey, you're hungry, you need food. Well, guess what? The same thing happens when we give, which tells us that we are hardwired to be givers. God created us to be givers. And when you give joyfully, you are experiencing the life that God wants you to have. And I just want to suggest maybe if your happiness isn't what it should be, maybe if you're going through a time in life, maybe the last few years, you're not as happy as you should be. I want to suggest to you that maybe you need to give a little bit more. Maybe you need to be a little more generous. Maybe you need to find some people that you can be generous to and you can bless, not because you want anything back, but just because you want to bless them. And what I found is that God will make you a happier person because that's how you're wired. You know, we were made in God's image, and God's very nature is to be a giver. It's within his nature. It's a part of his holiness. And a part of our holiness and a part of what makes us more like God is when we give. All right, so number one, we want to give joyfully. Number two, we want to give selflessly. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. You see, giving starts with giving ourselves to God. There's two things that the Bible is all about, and Jesus said this. He said, the first thing, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second thing is to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, I cannot be generous to other people the way I should be unless I have the grace of God in my life. And that grace of God starts with me saying, okay, God, I'm giving my life to you. I'm giving you my pocketbook. I'm giving you my finances. I'm giving you my future. I'm giving you everything about me. I'm going to love you inside and out. And when you do that, God is able to use you to be more generous to other people and to love other people. And it all starts with giving our lives to God, and he gives us grace to love other people. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son. He gave. The reason Jesus came was God is a giver. God didn't have 10,000 sons in heaven. There was one son, one perfect sacrifice, one lamb, and he gave himself to us. And once we figure that out, once you figure out how much grace God has given you, once you really comprehend that, it'll do something in your heart and make you generous for other people. It'll make you more forgiving. It goes beyond just generosity of money. Generosity goes to an attitude of forgiveness and grace in every area of our life. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Holy Spirit is described as a gift. Jesus is a gift. What we are experiencing here in this place today is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. And so if you really want to participate in God's nature, give. Give to other people. Give to God's house. Jesus was our gift, and we keep that gift going when we give back to other people. And I'm really looking forward to, in a couple weeks, we have a really cool opportunity for everyone to give to someone else, and we're going to give you more details about it. But I really believe, and I'm really excited, that it's going to change our church. So stay tuned for that. Number three, give willingly. Give willingly. We need to give selflessly, and we need to give willingly. You know, some people give for what they get back. Have you ever met one of those people? Maybe they give you the nicest Christmas present. They have to make sure it's a little bit nicer than everyone else. But behind it all, it's a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours mentality. That's really not giving. When you give so what you can get back, you're really giving a gift to yourself. Am I right? If I give to somebody so they can give back to me, I'm giving to myself. And so we don't give so we can get something back to God. Now that does happen because he's good and he's generous. But we give simply because we love him. And we want to give willingly. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:12 says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. In other words, if you're not giving willingly, I don't think you're really giving. If you're giving out of manipulation, if you're giving out of some type of agenda or motive, you're giving to yourself. You know, and a lot of people have this warped view about giving to God. Yes, they give, but it's almost like I said, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. And it's like, well, I have to tithe. I have to give to God because I don't want my finances cursed. I don't want God mad at me. And so show me what I have to give so I can make him happy. And we talked about that a few weeks ago, that when we give out of manipulation, when we do anything out of coercion, and it's not from our heart, it creates bitterness, doesn't it? It creates resentment. And so a lot of people look at giving to God as, you know, he's that annoying credit card collector who calls, and you know what? I just want to give the minimum amount. What do I have to give this guy to make him quit calling? That's how a lot of people give. A lot of people I know who don't even go to church, who aren't even followers of Christ, they give anyway because they don't want their finances cursed. And that's fine. We'll take the check, but that's really not the way that God intended it to happen. You know why? Because God, more than the check, God wants your heart. God wants your heart behind the giving. It's not the amount of, it's not the zeros in the check. It's about the heart and your willingness to give. We want to be willing givers. And when we talk about this, you know, a lot of people really, it gets kind of awkward because people will say, well, you know, Jesus never talked about the tithe. Jesus, nowhere in the New Testament is there a command to give a tithe. Well, you know, Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets, and they talked about tithing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, do not think I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And here's the thing we need to realize. I believe that that is a scriptural principle that God has given us. But I'll tell you this, the grace of God will make you give more than set amounts. I'm going to say that again. The grace of God will provoke you to give more than set amounts and will give you the gift to go beyond what's expected. And I'm not going to tell anybody what to give. That's a decision that you have to make. And if you're here today, we're not after your money. God's after your heart, and that includes your money. Amen? That we don't see dollar signs around here. The truth is that God's kingdom does have to be funded. That the activities that God has given this, the mission that God has given this church to do and the church worldwide, it takes money, and it takes all of us giving from our heart. And so a heart that truly realizes what God has done will not just give what's required. It will go beyond. Number four, we want to give thankfully. Psalm 116:12 says, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" I challenge you, try to come up with a number. Try to come up with a dollar amount of how God has blessed you. And I almost guarantee you couldn't come up with one. How do you come up with a dollar amount for salvation? How do you come up with a dollar amount for supernatural healing? How do you come up with a dollar amount for protection? How do you come up with a dollar amount when God provides supernaturally, not only for you, but for your kids and everyone around you? I challenge you, try to come up with that dollar amount, and you could never pay God back. And when he asked for us, you know what, just follow these principles. Give me, if you make $10, give me one. To me, that's a good deal. Anybody think that's a good deal? Go ahead and praise the Lord for that. 1 Timothy 6:19 says, "By doing this, you'll be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity." So we want to give thankfully. We want to give from our heart. And the truth is this: we aren't giving anything to God. We're returning. It's not your money to begin with. It's not your finances. It's not even your health. It's not even your life. Everything we have is from him. And so when people get possessive and say things like, "Well, the church just wants my money. That preacher just wants my money." First of all, that's not true. But number two, it's not yours. And it's not mine. We're just stewards of what God has given us. We're just passing through this life, and we're just stewarding, we're borrowing what God has given us. And so those of us who struggle with being generous, we probably don't really understand the whole concept of stewardship and giving. We are stewards of what God has allowed us to take care of on his behalf. And I want to be a good steward. I want to be a good steward. I don't want to meet him in eternity and for him to say, "You know, there was so much you could have done. There are so many people you could have blessed, but you wasted it and you spent it on yourself. You spent it on things that didn't last very long, that were just temporary." But when we give to other people, when we step up and we meet a need and maybe no one else knows about it, when we give of ourselves, when we give to God's kingdom, I really do believe God sees what we give in secret. And one day he will reward openly. One day in the afterlife, we are storing up treasures in heaven. And I want to tell you this, equality does not exist in heaven. I'm going to say it again. Equality does not exist in heaven. Now, we're saved by grace, right? Can't buy my way to heaven. I can't give enough to get my way to heaven. However, I really do believe this, and Jesus talks about this in Scripture, that there are levels of rewards. There are differences in rewards. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to God's kingdom, I want to be greedy. I want to give as much as I can to save as many as people as I can, because that is where true reward is at, is in people's lives being changed through giving to God's kingdom. Going the extra mile to give to somebody, to meet somebody's needs. That is where you'll find true happiness. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I want to see a long line of people that maybe I never personally saw them. I never personally met them. But the Lord will say, "You know what? You gave, and this missionary was able to go tell them about Jesus because of your giving. You know what? You never gave a sermon. Maybe some of you will never give a sermon. But you gave in the offering. We were to have lights. we were able to have a comfortable environment for kids and for students. We were able to bring people in and enjoy a nice service, and they heard about Jesus and their life was changed. And your giving is doing much more than what you could ever imagine. How many want to have that type of attitude? How many want to have that type of reward? I want to give thankfully. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to give back to you. Thank you, Lord. Why? Because one day I was a slave. One day I was in bondage and God rescued me. And so for this, I will give back to you so other people can be rescued. Other people can meet Jesus. Other people can experience the power of salvation. And giving, it rids me of selfishness. It rids me of being preoccupied by myself. It rids me of selfish thoughts. How much more can I get? How much more can I spend? And it brings my focus on what's really important, and that's other people. That's the heart that God wants to have. God's looking for people who look for excuses to give. Number five, we want to give intentionally. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "You must make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure." Wow, that's good, isn't it? Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. And I can just say, I'm never going to pressure anyone to give what they aren't comfortable giving, because at that point, you're being manipulated. But I would really love a church that just gives just because. That gives just because they can. And not to give reluctantly, and not because someone's manipulating, not because, you know, if you give this amount, you really love Jesus. If you don't give this amount, you don't love God. I'm going to tell you, you need to get in the principles of the Word of God and ask Him for a generous heart and ask Him to go beyond what's expected. 1 Timothy 6:19 says, "By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity." And God does not take pleasure in you being manipulated or pressured to give. What He does take pleasure is a joyful heart, an intentional heart. I heard the story of an older man that was getting to the point in life where he needed 24-hour care. And his family was really nervous because they were going to have the talk. He was just getting to that point where he couldn't be by himself. And so they gave him the spiel. They said, "Dad, you know, you really need to be in an environment where you can be taken care of, and none of us can do that." And asked him, "You know, can we please put you in this home?" And he said, "You know what, guys, I understand, kids, I understand, but I have one stipulation." They said, "What is it?" He said, "I will write my own tithe check every week." That's a heart God loves. That's a heart God's after, is wherever you're at in life, find a way to be generous. Find a way to give back to God, because that is God's nature. And when we participate in God's nature, we become more like Him. And if you're having trouble giving, maybe in your life you know that God's calling you to give more, not just financially, but to be a giver instead of a taker with other people. I'm telling you, it's within our nature to take. And that's something we have to work at. I don't want to tell you, that doesn't make you a bad person. It just means you have work to do. And what I mean by that is you need to let God's grace move in your life, and you need to ask Him, "God, help me to give." And maybe you don't have the faith right now to give 10%. I want to tell you, we're not here to condemn anybody. Whatever your amount is, that's something you have to decide with God. But I want to tell you this, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Push yourself a little bit. Give a little bit more than what you've been giving. Give a little bit more than maybe what you're comfortable with. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. We're not talking about amounts. We're talking about attitudes. And I'm going to tell you, the more you give, the more it will become a lifestyle. And then percentages and different things that we like to worry about and become legalistic about won't be a problem, because God will do something in your heart. So here's the promise that we're going to give for this week. And the promise is this, you can't outgive God. If someone has found that to be true, can I get an amen? Can I get a hand clap? How many knows you can't outgive God? Second Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It will come back. That's not why we give, but it's still true. It will come back. Whatever dollar you give, not only to this church, but maybe it's a charity, maybe it's a cause, maybe it's you're giving into someone's life, maybe no one else knows about it, but you, it will come back to you. I'm going to tell you, you can stand on it, you can bank on it. God will bless you. Every dollar that you give, it may not be matched with another dollar, but it'll be matched in other areas of your life. Amen? How many knows you can't put a dollar figure on good health? You can't put a dollar figure on salvation. You can't put a dollar figure on God saving your family. You can't put a dollar figure on God doing supernatural things. That's why I want to tell you, have a generous heart. And here's one way to go about it. Give generously with the attitude of, I can't wait to see what God does through me, through this gift. I can't wait to see how God's going to turn this around and bless me, not so I can be comfortable, not so I can have more, but I can't wait for God to bless me so I can bless somebody back. Can I get a hallelujah? I can't wait for God to bless this church with finances. Why? So we can bless other people more. We can do more for our community. Amen? That's what we want. We want God's blessing on our life so we can bless other people. And we can just keep increasing our giving. We need bigger buildings. Not for us, but for the harvest. We need so many things, so many ministries around this church we could use facilities for. But not for us. Because there's other people out there that need to hear about Jesus. And we need to have the best means to do that. Amen? And we have a harvest offering coming up here at the end of the month. And I want you to be praying about what God would have you give. And I want to be clear about something. This is not a part of your tithes. This is an addition. This is a love offering that goes beyond what's expected. And it can be anything that God speaks to your heart. And be open. Be open. Stretch yourself. And this harvest offering, it helps us with the different ministries around the church. From time to time, it's good to have a little extra. And we're doing fine. I don't want to scare anybody. But it helps us to kind of have that security in our savings. And it does so many things. And last year, I believe it was close to $40,000. Isn't that awesome? Let's thank God for that. And I'm not saying this to, this isn't ego-driven. This isn't to build up our head or anything. But this church in Herrick, Illinois, annually we give close to $1 million. Why don't you give yourself a hand and thank God for the grace that He's given us to give. If we could all stand. If we could all just focus for a second. But this message is not about money. This church is not about money. Can I get an amen? We're about souls. We're about people getting saved. We're about people. Every time that water splashes up there, you can't put a dollar amount on that. What God really wants is your heart. What God really wants is for you to completely surrender your life to Him. And if you've never done that, then you can't apply the principles of this message until you've done that, because you need God's grace in your heart to give. And this goes to every part of our life, doesn't it? If you're going to have a successful marriage, you're going to have to learn how to give. If you want to be a successful parent, you're going to have to learn to give. If you're going to be a successful student, you're going to have to learn to give. Every area of our life is affected by giving. And I can't do that without God's grace, because on my own, I'm selfish and I'm self-centered and it's all about me. And so I have to ask for God's grace to help me. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to pray a prayer. every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'm just going to ask, every week I ask this because I ask a question because God loves it when we respond to His Word. Okay? And I'm not going to tell anybody's hand I see. That's not what it's about. But every eye closed, every head bowed. How many of you would say, Lord, I need help in giving? Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those hands. You can put those hands down. God, I pray. Bless every person that raised their hand. God, give them grace to give a little bit more. Lord, you've seen every dollar, Lord, that people so faithfully give week in and week out. Single moms, Lord, who come and they give in this offering, God, in faith and love to you. God, I pray you'd bless them. Bless them abundantly. God, and I pray that you would increase our faith, God. Those of us that could give more, those of that raise their hand, God. Lord, I pray your grace in their life, God, so they can give more, so they can experience, Lord, the overflow of your blessing in your life. God, I pray our priorities would be right. God, I pray that you would be first. God, I pray that that check, Lord, to your kingdom would come first and not last. Lord, that we would prioritize giving to you. But more importantly, God, I pray that we would give ourselves to you. God, I pray if there's anybody in this place today who has not made the decision to make you Lord of their life, God, I pray that they would do that today. Lord, and I pray that they would be baptized soon, Lord, to publicly declare that decision. Lord, because that's what you're really after. And only till we do that can we really give to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.